Does anyone know where the phrase dilly-dally came from? It's not one of the brighter forms of speech, but don't dilly-dally. Who came up with that? What does exactly that mean? I mean, we were trying to figure that out. That shows you what some of our priests or prayer service conversations are like. Lollygag, there's another one. I mean, who comes up with this? There is in the world of a builder's term, it's called cattywampus. And that's like, it describes a board. It's a board that's twisted. It's called cattywampus. Now, you got to wonder, who's the guy who comes up with that? You know, here's a twisted board. Let's say it's cattywampus. I mean, how do you come up with this? I don't know. Proverbs 26 tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the book of Proverbs and that we can be here tonight. Thank you for those who are here. We pray your blessing on our time. And we pray that you would grant us wisdom as we go through this book. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. Swindoll told the story of a young man who went into a gas station, and he went to use the payphone, and the was inside the gas station, and the manager overheard the conversation, the one-sided conversation that the guy was making. And he heard this young man basically saying something like this: "Sir, could you use an honest, hard-working young man to work for you?" And then he heard a pause, and then the guy says, "Oh, you already have an honest, hard-working young man working for you? Well, thank you anyway." And, of course, the young man hung up the phone in his gas station. Well, the boy hung up the phone, and he had a big smile on his face, and he starts for the door, and he's humming and whistling and humming as he walks out, and it caught the gas station manager's attention, and he said, "Look, I couldn't help but overhear your conversation," and he said, "What I'm wondering is, how in the world can you be so cheery? It seems like that you were asking this man for a job," and he said that he had hired somebody else for the job. And the young man said, "No." He said, "I'm the honest, hardworking man he hired." He said, I actually was just checking in on my job on the phone, so I called them up and asked them if they needed a hardworking, young, honest man. And when they said that you already have one, he said, it was just a real boost to my morale because I'm the guy that's working for them. But then it makes you wonder, what would happen if you called your boss up tonight and did that yourself? If you called him up and said, "Say, would you be interested in an honest, hardworking person going to work for you?" Would he say, "Well, I already have one. I already have somebody that does the job done really well"? Or would he talk to you? What a great testimony it is to have that kind of reputation. And what a great testimony it was for this young man, certainly not to be a sluggard. And there's no question when you read the scriptures that God desires that no matter what we do it heartily unto Him. And there are not too many things that God detests any worse than laziness. Now, you'll recall in the last couple of weeks, we were in the first 12 verses of the 26th chapter, and we could call that the mirror of fools. And what you were looking at here are the characteristics of a fool. Now, when you come to these verses tonight in Proverbs 26, 13 to 16, we could call this the mirror of a sluggard. Because what's described here is somebody that just does not get the job done. What we see as we go through these verses is that wise people recognize the characteristics and symptoms of one who's lazy, and they choose not to be lazy. Wise people say, "You know what, I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to be what the sluggard is." And the mark of wisdom is to recognize what those traits are and then move away from them as far as we can. Wise people, from God's perspective, may not be the most talented, but wise people from God's perspective will be probably the most dedicated. They might not have the greatest level of knowledge, but they will have the greatest level of commitment. And that is certainly something that comes out of the book of Proverbs in a text like this one tonight. Now, in order for us to be wise, or to recognize who's wise, or recognize who's a sluggard and we don't want to be one, there are these four symptoms tonight that are brought out in the world of lazy people. And basically, that's what this is discussing. Symptom number one: lazy people will invent bizarre excuses for not working. Now, look at verse 13 of Proverbs 26. "The sluggard says, 'There's a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square.'" Now, the sluggard, and that noun sluggard, which occurs four times in these four verses, is a noun that refers to a person who leaves or neglects his responsibilities, one who is just at leisure, one who's lax, one who doesn't get the work done. Now, this proverb is a proverb that is talking about guys coming up, or a sluggard coming up with an excuse for not working, for not getting the job done. And as Dr. Bridges says, a sluggard is one who's ingenious for inventing excuses for not working. Now, certainly a lion is a dangerous animal. In fact, if it weren't so tragic, it would almost be funny. You remember Joy Adamson. Joy Adamson was the woman who did the thing Born Free. Remember that back in the, I think it was 80s? Back in the 80s, she did Born Free. And, of course, she... her whole idea was like that grizzly guy. You just go out there and pitch a tent right in the middle of them, and you try to live with them and love them. So she took these little lion cubs, and this was a major cover-up, by the way. I don't know if you know the politics of all of this, but she took these lion cubs with the idea they're just going to be my friends, and the lions ate her. Killed her. And then they tried to cover it up because she had this foundation that was taking in millions of dollars of money. And so they were saying, well, actually she had a heart attack first and then the lions ate her, which wasn't true. The lions ate her, and that probably put her into the heart situation. So there's no question that lions are a dangerous animal. But this particular excuse that's being used here is that there is a lion somewhere out there, maybe on the road or downtown in the open square, so I'm not going to work. The whole point is somewhere out there could be a lion, and this lion could be on the prowl, could be out in the street, could be downtown where the open public square is in the Jerusalem area. And so I'm just not going to go out there and work. That's what a sluggard does. He invents, frankly, irrational excuses. If there are no real hindrances to him working, he'll just make things up. He'll imagine hindrances that aren't actually there. Now, what doesn't show up in English is that you have two nouns used for lion. In verse 13, the first noun used for lion in verse 13 refers to an older lion, perhaps a lion a little more mellow. The second noun that's used for lion is the younger lion, that's the more fierce lion. So what this guy does in making up this excuse is he basically covers all of his bases. He covers all the potential danger. He said there could be an old lion that is out there somewhere. There could be an old lion who is out there in the road. There could be a younger lion who's a vicious lion that's out there in the open square. And so I better not go to work. Now, of course, no city or public road commission in our day or in Hezekiah's day would stand passively by and allow lions to wander in places of public responsibility. In fact, if you know anything about lions, for the most part, they want to be as far away from humans as they possibly can be. They don't make a habit of just walking down open streets, and they don't make a habit of just hanging out in places where you have a lot of human traffic. The fact of the matter is they want to get far away from human scent and human beings. All of this is, frankly, a pathetic excuse for being lazy. It's a ridiculous reason for not going to work. Yeah, there could be a lion out there. I think Matthew Henry made an interesting observation when he said there is a lion that has the lazy person. It's the roaring lion, Satan. And Satan's got the lazy person, and he's devouring him through his lazy excuses. Frank Minerth and Paul Meyer are two Christian men who are quite skilled in the arena of psychiatry and psychology. And they said, we deal with people who make excuses all the time. They come in to us for counseling, and he said, really, all they're coming in for is they want to come in and get more excuses for not dealing with the issue. And they said, we've learned a little tactic when it comes to most issues that we're dealing with people. If we change one word in the discussion, we can cause a person to face reality and truth. He says, the word that we change is the word from can't to won't. And he said, that's what we change with excuse makers. Can't to won't. So when someone says, well, I can't get along with him, I can't get along with her, he said, we make them change it to the real issue. You won't get along with him. You won't get along with her. When someone says, I can't quit this sin, he said, we make them face it. No, it's you won't quit this sin. It's not that you can't, it's that you won't. When someone makes the excuse, I can't stop gossiping. No, it's not a question of you can't, it's that you won't stop gossiping. When someone says, I can't find time to exercise, no, it's that you, not that you can't find, it's that you won't find time to do it. And when someone says, I can't find time to read my Bible and pray, he said, we tell them, no, that's not it either. It's that you won't do it. He said, the changing of the word can't to won't often puts the person in the arena of reality. He said, because a lot of people have a lot of problems because they make excuses that aren't real. And that's exactly what's being talked about here. Someone who comes up with an excuse that's not real. There is no lion out there wandering in the street. I suppose the possibility is there. There is no lion that's down there in the city square. But the lazy person says, that's my excuse today, and I'm not going to work. Now, no matter what the assignment is, lazy people can come up with excuses for, frankly, not getting the job done. If the assignment from a doctor is, you need to exercise regularly, lazy people will invent an excuse for not following through. I know this because they've just told me in physical therapy that there are people, they just won't do what they tell them they need to do. And he said, we give them, here, do this, you can fix a lot of the problem, and they won't do it. They just won't follow through on it. If an assignment from an employer is given, produce, lazy people will invent some excuse, some reason why they can't get the job done. If the assignment from a church leader is to get a certain task, lazy people will always come up with some reason or explanation as to why they couldn't do it. And if the assignment from God is, I want you to become more spiritual, I want you to become more disciplined in your life, sluggards will come up with habitual excuses for why they will not do it. Now, whether it comes to spiritual things or physical things, we don't want the classification of a sluggard. We do not want to be one that's known for making excuses. We want to be known as people that deal in reality, and people who live our lives in a way that glorifies God. So symptom number one of the lazy person is they invent bizarre excuses for not working. Symptom number two is that lazy people will always return to their rest philosophy. Now notice verse 14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. Now, lazy people are not only afraid of work, they're in love with ease. Lazy people are always needing rest from work they haven't even done. I mean, that's the humorous part of all this. I mean, we're so tired. From what? You haven't done anything. Why are you so tired? I mean, you can see it if you're out there doing something. A lazy person, as Robert Alden says, simply lacks the ambition, drive, or self-discipline necessary to swing out of bed and get going to work. And ladies and gentlemen, haven't you known some people that are like that? I mean, have you known people who will lay around all day and not even get dressed? I mean, there are people that live in that world. I mean, it's crazy, but they do. And this is exactly what's being described here in Proverbs. Now, a door that turns on its hinge, that is used as the analogy here, because the analogy is, as the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. The door that turns on its hinge is a door that swings this way for a moment or two, and then that way for a moment or two, but never gets anywhere. I mean, a door basically is really limited in its movement. It never accomplishes anything. It always returns to its starting position, which is dormant. In other words, a door doesn't have much action to it other than it just opens a little bit and then closes and then it just is there, and it doesn't move and get much done. It actually, when you push a door open, gives the impression it's really going someplace. I mean, you get that image when you grab the door and open it, but in all reality, in just a moment, it goes back to its starting position. And so what the analogy is of the men of Hezekiah is that both a door and sluggard, they have this narrow range of movement. I mean, they may start to move just a moment, but then they stop and they shut down just like a door. a person who is a sluggard is in a constant philosophy of rest. There could be moments when this kind of person will appear like they're heading someplace. There could be these brief interludes in which it would appear as if the sluggard is going to actually accomplish something. But in the end, this sluggard always goes back to the dormant rest position. He doesn't finish what he started. He doesn't go anywhere. He's like a door on a hinge. Lazy people start the move, but they never really do. They start projects and look good, but they don't finish it. And it doesn't matter what it is. They might start to read through the Bible, but they aren't going to read through the Bible. They might start to sign up for this or that, but they're going to quit. They might make some type of movement that looks like they're going to be there, but they won't. These people will always return to their need of rest philosophy. You can't depend on them to accomplish anything because they're just too lazy. They're as lifeless as a door hinge. And one minister who wrote on this particular proverb said, "I've often observed, even with God's people, that they'll get caught up with something evil and then give you the impression they're really going to move from it, but they never do. They actually go right back to it, almost like the dog returns to vomit." Let me give you six simple ways to move away from something evil. This works. Follow this formula. You can get victory in anything over anything. Number one, confess it to God. Start right there. Confess it to God. Number two, eliminate it. If it's something evil, it shouldn't be in your life. Get rid of it. Eliminate it. Number three, get into God's Word. Get around the Word of God. Number four, get to prayer. Number five, get around God's people. And number six, replace the evil things with good things. You follow that formula, you can get victory over anything. You don't have to be like that door hinge that goes back and you're there in the same evil, slugging it out in the same crud again. You can have victory over every single issue. I guarantee you that little formula works. Now, certainly there's nothing wrong with needing a break or a vacation. I mean, even the Lord himself at times needed to just get away and get away from the pressures that he was under continually. But lazy people, they need to get away, and they haven't done anything. I mean, it's like they're saying, "We got to go on vacation." From what? I mean, what are you going on vacation from? I mean, you haven't really done much of anything, and that's what a sluggard is. They don't tackle anything. They don't work to achieve anything. They don't produce. Oh, they may have a little movement, but that's all it is, just a little movement. Then they crawl back into bed for some rest, and they've done nothing. Dr. George Lawson said, even when they come to church, they use the pew as a bed to go back to sleep. I thought that was pretty good what Lawson said. He said, we can get them to church sometimes, but then they just doze off when they're in the service. God help the one that faces him one day, and he says, "Man, you are a sluggard. I don't want that. You don't want that." So the wise thing to do is spot these characteristics and say, "Nope, not going to be in my world. I'm going to move away from these kinds of things. I'm not going to be a guy that makes excuses, and I'm certainly not going to be the kind of person here that's like a door hinge and just goes nowhere." So there's the second symptom. Now, the third symptom is lazy people are too fatigued to even do necessary tasks. I think verse 15 is funny. God must have some kind of unique sense of humor for this analogy, verse 15. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and he is weary of bringing it to his mouth again. Man, that's lazy. I mean, my goodness, this is a pathetic picture. Here is a person who is so lazy that he's too tired to even do the necessary things for his own existence. And the description here is of a person putting his hand into some dish of food, and he's so lazy that he doesn't want to take the effort and energy to bring the food all the way back up to his mouth. I mean, this is one unbelievable picture. And the word weary that is used there in verse 15 when he says the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and he is weary is a word that means this guy is totally exhausted. He's totally fatigued. I mean, he is totally weary. This person is so exhausted that he can't even move his arm up to eat, and he hasn't done any work. I mean, this is the crazy thing about this guy. Is delusional. He's living in some unbelievable world here. You know, there are many places in Scripture where this eating food is compared to taking in God's Word. And we know that there certainly is an analogy of believing on Jesus Christ and eating from the bread of life. Do you know that there are people who are too sluggardly to, by faith, take the word of life? By faith, reach out to Jesus Christ. And although we laugh at the physical analogy that's being used here, the truth is, it's sad. One of the critical responsibilities that the church has is to see to it when God's people go to church, they're carefully taught the Scriptures. That is the church's responsibility. That is not just my opinion. That is stated time and time again in the Scriptures. Paul said to Timothy, you preach the word, you teach sound doctrine, you give attention to reading. Over and over again, there's this emphasis on you teach the Scriptures to the people. And I think there are two forms of spiritual laziness that must be absolutely detestable in the sight of the living God. First of all, would be a minister who's too lazy to prepare good meals. That's detestable to God. For a minister who would be too lazy to get his flock meals well prepared so when they come to church they have good food to eat. The second thing that must be detestable to God would be people who are too lazy to come eat. I mean, people that are just saying, I don't want to have to go get in the car and drive all the way to church to go eat. I mean, what is that? I mean, that's just that excuse business of I don't want to be fed the word of God. That's a tragedy. And both of those things, frankly, are prevalent today. And literally, and what's so sad is sluggards will spiritually starve themselves, and they're too fatigued to come to services to eat meals. They don't eat a well balanced diet from the Word of God. It's just a hit and miss thing, and then they wonder why they aren't really being strengthened in the things of God. I saw a program on National Geographic, and they wanted to track the movement of lions in Africa, so they shot a tranquilizer into the lion, the big, beautiful, powerful body, sound asleep. And I thought to myself, boy, there are people that are they're spiritually like that. I mean, they have a nice look to them. It's an impressive look, but through their own sloth, they're sound asleep in their own lives. And so these wise men say, look, don't be like a sluggard. Don't be like a one who's making excuses. There's a lion out there. Don't be like a one who goes nowhere. Don't be like one who's too lazy to even go and get food to eat. And finally, the final symptom is lazy people are too conceited to change. Verse 16 says, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Now, this is unbelievable. But this kind of person that God's describing here is a person who is so conceited, he's so caught up with himself, that even if you have seven men who were the most logical, truth-setting, wise men on the planet, even if these seven men, and the number seven means they could give complete insight as to a wise person versus a foolish sluggard, even if you had that kind of data available, this person is so proud of himself that he will not listen. This person is so caught up with himself, he's wiser in his own eyes than the wise men who can tell him the truth. He thinks he somehow reached some level that's above and beyond where they're at when they're in a position to say, look, here's what the Word of God says. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. And these people are, they're in their own minds, they're conceited and they're proud and they're haughty and they will not listen. A lazy person is too lazy to research, he's too lazy to listen, he's too lazy to think, yet in his own mind, he's elevated himself to a level where he thinks he's at this high vantage point and he doesn't need counsel from anybody. And even wise men of God, he doesn't need counsel from them. It's a real baffling issue as to what this person actually is conceited about. When you look through this, because he, from God's perspective, accomplishes nothing. He ends up with nothing. He isn't doing anything. He's not accomplishing anything. So you think, well, what in the world is this guy actually conceited about? There's nothing for him to be proud about. But you see, that's the way it is for a fool. I mean, they're proud and haughty, and they don't want to listen. They don't want to learn. They don't want to change. Listen, to be lazy, and this is any way you see this in Proverbs, to be lazy is to be a fool. And to face God, having been lazy, is to face him and be a loser. So, here's what we want to do. All of us at times have walked on the path of a fool. Solomon said that about himself. You know, I've been on that path. I'm off that path. I'm not going that way. I'm moving in the direction of wisdom. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be moving away from these dimensions of folly and dimensions of sluggardliness. And we need to be moving to wise, disciplined people. It was Henry W. Beecher, a congregational minister of the 1800s, who said, "It's not work that kills men, it's worry that kills men. Laziness will make a man a loser. Hard work will make him a champion." And when it comes to your spiritual life, don't be a sluggard. All of us have work to do. Every single one of us. None of us have arrived. I mean, we all have a ways to go. But we don't want to get before the Lord and have him say, "Boy, you were a real sluggard down there. You didn't do much of anything." We need to make adjustments. Move in the right way. So take these proverbial teachings, apply them on your job, apply them in your school, apply them in your home, in the church. Do what you do heartily for the Lord, and then you can end up a champion for God, a wise person for the Lord. That's what this section is all about tonight. All right, any questions or comments on this?